Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
When Sal DeMacy was indicted on federal corruption charges this week, he became the third consecutive speaker of the Massachusetts House to face criminal charges. DeMacy's predecessor, Tom Fenneran, pleaded guilty to obstruction of justice charges. Before him, there was Charles Flaherty, who pleaded guilty to tax evasion. DeMacy's alleged crimes are different. He's accused of accepting payments for political favors. WBUR's David Boreri reports these pay-to-play charges recall the kind of corruption that was rife on Beacon Hill some 30 years ago.
It puts everybody under a cloud. Everybody in the building is under a cloud because a leader has gone down.
Longtime Boston Herald and Globe reporter Peter Lucas started covering the State House in 1964. The speaker was John Thompson, whose leadership style more than warranted the nickname the Iron Duke.
I'd been there a week, and he was suddenly indicted and had to step down as Speaker of the House. Here we are 40-odd years later. It's the same thing.
Not quite the same thing. The earlier scandal was bipartisan. Thompson was indicted along with his predecessor, who was a Republican, on charges of bribery and conspiracy. And Thompson was old school. Sal DeMacy was supposed to be new school.
Sal DeMacy had the reputation of being a go-along, get-along, happy-go-lucky legislator who took care of his district and thrived. But in no way was he considered to be an individual who cut corners or, you know, did illicit favors or anything like that.
Genial, with always a handshake, a hug, or a kiss that smoothed the way for liberal politics, DeMacy was beloved by progressives. But to consider the outlines of the indictment alleged by federal prosecutors, the scheme he concocted with fellow conspirators was definitely old school and unsophisticated. In order to make sure it won two contracts from Massachusetts, the prosecution claims, the software company Cognos funneled secret payoffs to DeMacy through his chosen law associate. Here's U.S. Attorney Michael Laux.
Cognos carried the attorney on his books as a lobbyist. Even though the attorney never performed any lobbying or legal services for Cognos, and Cognos never once asked the attorney to perform any services.
The scheme DeMacy allegedly concocted with his fellow conspirators is a throwback to what former prosecutor Tom Dwyer calls the institutionalized corruption that held this state captive in the 60s and 70s.
The thing was just totally out of control.
At the State House, building contracts were up for sale. That's how the system worked, says Dwyer, who started prosecuting corruption cases in the early 70s. It was the Watergate era, and Massachusetts was gaining a national reputation for corruption. Deeply troubled by the DeMacy case, Tom Dwyer, who as a defense attorney represented House Speaker Charles Flaherty when he was indicted, says this doesn't come close to the 70s.
I mean, you don't have a situation where the capital budget for a fiscal year cannot be released until the bribes are in order. I mean, you don't have that situation like you did in the 1970s.
The breaking point came in 1977. When, in another bipartisan scandal, Senator Joseph DiCarlo, the Democratic floor leader, and Republican Senator Ron McKenzie were convicted of extortion and conspiracy. The case involved a construction management company, MBM, in regard to the construction of the new campus at UMass Boston, with allegations that included the Senate president, the state government was paralyzed. Under extraordinary pressure, a special legislative commission was created
to find the truth about the Carlo McKenzie case and recommend procedures and policies for the future to avoid these types of problems.
With powers to call witnesses and compel testimony, the Ward Commission, as it was called, with Tom Dwyer as its deputy counsel and executive director, captured the state's attention. With nightly televised coverage, explosive newspaper headlines, hearings held under the Golden Dome, it revealed corruption as a way of life, shoddy construction as a routine, and briberies as the norm. The star witnesses were the convicted senators themselves. Ron McKenzie, by then a cooperating witness.
And DiCarlo, being compelled, testify against their will that the whole bribe scheme did in fact exist. That started the scandal in the first place.
The truth was shocking. The Ward Commission was blunt, declaring that the state was up for sale. But even while it was doing its investigation, the commission pushed legislation, supported by the public outrage, that created the first in the nation inspector general's office, reformed campaign contribution law, and strict laws regulating the state contracting of construction. The days of the old school seem to have ended. But 30 years later, we have the case of a speaker allegedly involved in an old school scheme. Tom Dwyer says he's not sure another ward commission is needed. The corruption is episodic, not routine. But he says temptation is still there in the statehouse, as it always has been.
When many public officials get into office and they look around and they see the people that they deal with, for instance, lobbyists and other people, and they're making 45 or 50, whatever it is today, the salary, and these people are making, you know, $250,000 for no heavy lifting. My sense is there's just a lot of resentment, and my sense is that's where a lot of these problems start, that they have boats and I don't have boats. I mean, they have golf clubs, I don't have golf clubs. And what happens is you get, I think, a lot of resentment.
For WBUR, I'm David Boweri.
Stay with WBUR for a chance to have your say about claims of corruption on Beacon Hill. That's the subject for Radio Boston today at 1 o'clock, when you can call or email your comments.